Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
We're going to be reading today from Matthew chapter 27. And I know that a lot of times that's not the story you read when we're talking about Easter, but I want to read from there today. And as we celebrate today, we celebrate the most powerful event in all of human history. Celebrations all over the world today of Easter. And here's what's really cool. All of time is literally measured by the cross. I mean, as Christians, we celebrate time. And for all you people that go, this isn't right, I'm telling you, you got to hear my heart here. B.C., before Christ, and A.D., after his death. That's how powerful the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is. We're today not just celebrating an event. I want you to know here at Christian Ministries Church, we're celebrating a person. Yes. Jesus told a lady in John chapter 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this? And so I don't ask Martha today. I'm telling you, Jesus is asked, do you believe this today? I pray you do. I pray you do. We're talking about a person who is alive. We celebrate an alive person. Same person who was raised from death to life, the same power that raised him and the same power that raised you and I is who we celebrate. And we're raised from a sinful existence to a glorious life. A glorious life. Our vision here at Christian Ministries Church this year is Zoe. In the Greek, that means a God kind of life. Come on, we should be celebrating daily a God kind of life. If today you don't know him, that same power that raised Jesus is the same power that's available for you today to change your life. You don't have to live miserable. You don't have to live defeated. You can live with the hope and the excitement of the God kind of life that he's made available for us today. You're listening. You're here today. And sometimes I know that there are people in church that don't frequent church on a weekly basis. And you kind of go, okay, what's all the excitement about? Really, what's the excitement about? The excitement's about Jesus. And I'm telling you, when you've experienced his power, there's excitement. Everything we're celebrating today is about Jesus. If you are a young person and the Easter Bunny showed up at your house, I'm telling you, the only reason he's there is to give you a knowing that Jesus is the reason we celebrate. The Easter Bunny was just a messenger, just a little avenue to put chocolate in your basket. And we like chocolate. But I'm telling you, as sweet as chocolate is, Jesus is much sweeter. And so I want you to know today is the day that God has for you to understand the salvation that comes only in his name. Matthew 27, if you were turning there and you're not there yet, give up because I'm going ahead. It'll be on the screen. Matthew 27, verse 50, it says, then Jesus shouted again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain, or in some translations, the veil, in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. He had revelation. I want to tell you three quick things that happened here in these verses. Number one, the curtain or the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, I want you to understand how important that is. Man didn't make a way for you to have a relationship with God through religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, man didn't do... An angel from the top of the curtain that separated us from God's Shekinah glory, we couldn't get to him. There was a curtain separating the access to a holy God. And now there's a way for you to be in his presence. This morning, the curtain from the top to the bottom, the veil that was separating you is no longer there, praise God. And you have the option of access to a holy God. That's why we're celebrating today. That access has been made available. The way was made by the Son of God coming as a man that did what man couldn't do, but man had to do. And it was only Jesus that could do that. So many people don't ever experience the presence of God. They don't walk in. They don't enjoy God's presence. And they look at people as to why they're not in God's presence. Let me just tell you, it's very important to understand this. People can't keep you from God. Nothing can separate you from God but you. If you've blamed the church, if you've blamed other people, I'm just telling you, you better just take that finger and point it right back at yourself. Because you're the only one that can separate the curtains from top to bottom made access for you. And there's so many people blaming everybody else, and I'm telling you, it's not people's fault, it's your fault. I know you're going, I didn't expect to be preached to today. Hey, if it steps on your toes, then just get some other shoes. I don't know what to tell you. You keep changing them, trying to figure out something different to keep you from the access, but what I'm telling you is Jesus came that we could all have access. So there just can't be any more excuses. I love that in this scripture. Number two, the earth shook at the death of Jesus. You know, we've read that our whole lives, the earthquake. It was just an earthquake. It was just an earthquake. Well, we've all experienced earthquakes. My wife thought we were having an earthquake when we lived on the second floor of one of our houses when I was coming up the stairs. And I'm like, bye. We have heard, we've seen the results of earthquakes, and we get that, but it's always isolated to one spot. What the Bible says is the earth shook. The whole earth. So if you were on this side of the earth or you were on this side of the, it don't matter which side you were on, everywhere you just thought it was an earthquake right here. No, he shook the whole earth.
Wow.
Well, why is that significant? See, when he died, it wasn't an isolated event.
Yeah.
It was a holy, for the whole earth, for the whole world. When Jesus died, the whole earth was shaken up. God came to buy us back. Salvation is available to every man. All over the earth, God's made himself known. And he did that to say, I have taken care of the earth and what was needed for man to have access. And I love that. Here's the thing. Eventually, he's going to come back. And God came to buy us back. And salvation is available to every man all over the earth. And God made himself known then, and he's still doing that. And he did that so that the earth could be redeemed. But he started with mankind. He started with us. Right now, the entire planet, according to Scripture, is groaning, anticipating and excited about his return, waiting for the return for him to come and get us, his people. Here's the message going out across the world. Save the planet. Have you ever heard that? Save the planet. Do your part. Everybody do your part. You can't save the planet and you can't destroy the planet. Who do we think we are? See, that whole movement is just to try to make man the center of all responsibility. But God came to be the responsible party for the whole earth. And when he comes back, he's going to get his saved. He's going to get those that have been redeemed. And then he'll save the planet.
Yeah.
He'll redeem the planet. God has saved us, and he will then save the planet on his return. No, I'm not saying go out there and litter and throw everything. Please hear me. Do your part on taking care of what God has given us to take care of. But don't get this thought that we are the center of everything that happens on this earth. No, we give our heart and life to him because when he comes back, there's salvation for our planet. I'd love to dive in deeper. Come back next week. Number three, the graves were open and godly men and women were raised. And you may not have ever heard this talked about, but I just read it. So much power was released at his death. I'm talking about power like the world had never seen. That bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. That's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, I just think when he was raised, there was a magnetic power of people that had committed their lives to him, and they just started coming up too. And the Bible talks about this. Jesus raised from the dead, and then there was others, and there was this wave of light and life, and I'd love to explain it, and I can't. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And they were raised, and they went into the city, and they were telling people, he's alive, he's alive. They were saying, hey, he's alive, and you're like, Uncle Joe, what are you doing here? I thought you died 10 years ago. Everybody's sitting there having dinner, and Uncle Joe walks in. What in the world? I thought you were dead. And some of y'all are going, I was glad he was dead. Now he's back. I don't... Can you imagine someone that had been gone for 10 years that his hearts and lives were sold out to Jesus and kept telling everybody, I'm telling you, better believe in him. You better believe in him. You better believe in what he's doing right now. You better believe in what's happening. And all of a sudden, these saints, these people who had said God is your only way, and they had been living it, and all of a sudden they're in your dining room while you're having dinner. They walk in and said, he's alive. I bet a lot of people said, oh, I'm going to serve him now. I just read that and I go, okay, wait a minute here. What was going on? They were proclaiming that Jesus is alive. I don't hear that story with any other person who claims a deity or to be God. People were going in town and they were telling people there's a power that's just unexplainable. And there's a power coming again at his return that's going to shake everything up. Hallelujah. It's going to shake everything. It's going to shake us up and it's going to be a glorious shaking. And what I'm telling you, if I've been gone 10 years and I'm here to tell you today, don't look at that any different than me just telling you today. He's alive. He's alive. Does it take an Uncle Joe or your grandfather, your grandmother who proclaimed that Jesus was real to come back? Or can you believe that 2,000 years ago, he already did that for us and said, hey, he's alive? Which is an example of what's going to happen to you at his return if you die before he gets here. At his return, guess what? You're coming up just like Uncle Joe did. There's going to be a pull on your life. I prepared all of this, and I had to just talk about a couple things, because if you're here today, you got to know why Jesus came. You got to know why he came. If you don't get that, then you've missed it. And I want to give you some scripture that's so clear. You don't need to read a theological dissertation of what this all means. You don't need to have someone else that's way smarter than you explain it. You know, Jesus said some things, God said some things through his word that were just clear as could be. And we don't have to try to figure out what he meant. When he said, don't commit adultery, I don't need to figure out what he meant by that. What did he mean by that, Pastor? Don't commit adultery. See, it's just that simple. Well, there are some things that were said in Scripture about why he came that really don't leave us questioning. Number one, he came to do God's will. There's five of them, so when I get to number five, you know we're getting ready to sing again. He came to do God's will, not your will, not his own will, but God's will. Hebrews 10:7, then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the Scriptures. Jesus didn't come to do his own thing. He came to fulfill the will of God. He didn't do anything that God didn't tell him to do. He didn't say anything except what God told him to say. He set the perfect example for us. He came to do the will of the Father. Number two, he came to destroy the works of Satan. 1 John 3:8. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to whip the snot out of the devil. That's what Jesus came for. He came to fulfill the will of God. He came to do the will of God. And he came to destroy the works of Satan. He came with a mission to destroy anything that the devil has tried to have access to your life and then moved in. Revelation 1, the second part of verse 17 says, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave." What's the keys of death and the grave? The enemy's domain, and I come to defeat all that. I got the keys, which means you don't have to go there. He came to take the keys away from Satan, who wants all people in an eternal grave of doom and gloom. Number three, he came to take away our sins. 1 John 3:5, and you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there's no sin in him. He didn't come to condemn us of our sins. Some people think that was what he came for, is to condemn us. He didn't. He said, "I'm not condemning you." But he also didn't come to condone them. So many people get on this movement of he's just all love. He is all love. But he's also all truth. And the truth is, he doesn't condone sin. He came to take them away. So you don't have to deal with the shame of them. You don't have to deal with it no more. Number four, he came to reveal God's true nature. Jesus wanted us to see the true nature of God, the tender mercies of God that are fresh and new each morning. John chapter 1, verse 14, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." Jesus came to show us God. Let me give you a couple more scriptures here. Colossians 1:15, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." Colossians 2:9, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." Here's who Jesus is and why he came. Jesus is God's selfie. God. If Jesus had an iPhone, God. I don't know how else to explain it, but Jesus is what God looks like. Jesus is the perfect picture of God, and if you know Jesus, you know the Father. So many try to separate them, like, "Well, I can handle Jesus, but I don't know about God. I never really hear from him." No, he's made intercession. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. So many have this Old Testament view of God under the law and that he's just mean. That the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Jesus was representing God's true nature. All right, number five and the last one. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to find us who are, how many say, "Thank God he found me"? Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Why did Jesus come? To seek and save. To seek and save. Why did he come? He didn't come to destroy us. He didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to hurt us. He didn't come to harm us. He didn't come to make us sick. He came to say, "Hey, I want your attention because I've now found you. You've paid attention to who I am and you're looking at me and I'm here to save you." He came to seek and save. People have made this comment before, and they talk about, "I found God." If you've ever heard somebody say that, "Well, I found God when I was," they found, God wasn't lost. And I want you to know that he came to seek you out. And that's why I started out by saying, it's no accident that you're here today. He found you. And you don't leave here saying, "Well, I found God on Easter Sunday." He found you because you turned your eyes and he said, "Here I am." He wasn't hiding from you. And the problem is so many are hiding from him. And he's not going to give up on you. He's just keeping on, keeping on. "I'm seeking you out. I'm seeking you out. I'm looking around right now. He's seeking you out. He's seeking you out." You may have felt like you were running away. You might have felt like you're not worthy. He didn't give up on you. He's seeking you out. Why? So he could save you. To seek and save. And he wants to save you from this corruption. He came to do God's will. Did y'all hear that this morning? He came to do God's will. He came to destroy the works of Satan, to take away our sins, and he came to reveal God's true nature. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He revealed himself to us because we are findable. Come on, be findable today so you can live the saved life.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.